You're listening to another episode of Amy and Sarah Search for the One.
Each week, we watch rom-coms and talk about why we love them.
Hello.
Let's turn on this weird access.
Hi there, Amy.
Well, to be fair, even if COVID wasn't happening, we still
and
wouldn't
I'm
be in person.
Sarah, the person saying hi this. To Amy. Unless I made the trip
then
down.
Then I'm Amy.
To
the
DC.
Person yeah. hearing Sarah say hi to Amy. Every week you came down.
You know what? We could see each other.
More and feasible.
Probably like
always,
I would come visit you
over
once
Skype
a month or once every 2 months. And we would just have to literally spend the whole time watching movies and just like recording. It would be like 24 hours of movies and then just recording for like four or five hours.
I do feel like once COVID has lifted, we should do like a live, not live, but like we should watch a rom-com in person together and tape it so we can talk about it through the rom-com. Maybe we should do that, like a movie we both like really love and have seen a thousand times.
Yeah, because we won't need to, like, actually pay attention. We can just talk. Yeah, we could do, like, a Facebook Live or something. I don't know. Whatever the kids are doing these days. Who knows? Is Facebook Live relevant with children and teens?
Well, it's funny. In some ways, it's more relevant because I think, like, more people are using it to do, like, programming than ever before.
Yes. I think Facebook Live is, like, the sweet spot for professional mid-20s to mid-30-year-olds.
When before it was just something weird you accidentally clicked on once and was like, ah!
I feel like it was just, like, people doing weird shit, being like, I'm going live, and they would just be, like, sitting in their underwear, like, eating a bowl of oatmeal or something.
Is that...
We could do that while we watch a movie.
If I look back at your Facebook Live videos, is there one of you doing eating oatmeal in your
You know what? There isn't, but I'm sure, like, Big Brother, CIA, whoever's, like, hacked into my webcam maybe has a recording of me just, like, eating oatmeal, watching a movie.
Okay, I feel like our fans and me need it definitively on the record. Are you recording videos of you eating oatmeal in your underwear?
No. See, like, I haven't recorded it, but just, like, I don't have my video camera, like, taped over. So I always just assume that someone is watching me.
Yeah, I feel like that is a great... I'm always, like, unsure of what my level of paranoia should be about blocking the camera from my laptop, because from watching the ABC hit Revenge, they could hack in to... If your camera was, like, there, people could, like, hack into it and just see what you're saying. So it really freaked me out. So I got into a habit of doing it all the time. Now I mostly forget and just do it, like, if I'm, like, spending a lot of time looking at my computer, I'll, like, block it off with usually a folded up piece of whatever I can find near me.
Yeah. I feel like most people, like, covered it up with, like, a Post-it. I just never did. I was just like, you know what? If someone wants to be a creep and watch me, whatever. They're literally just going to see mostly, like, my face just, like, looking like an idiot staring at somebody. Like, it's not gonna be exciting.
You're not leaving your laptop open while you're, like, solving a murder in the background or committing a murder.
Well, maybe if we pause the recording, I'll tell you, but on the record, no.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah, it's hard to see where you should be in this, like, cyber threats, because it's, like, I've definitely been, like, a little cautious about it, and then had a friend be, like, well, like, they're listening anyway, and you're, like, okay, so should I not be cautious at all? Like, I think some caution is good. You know, like, yes, you know, if you have a Facebook, they have all your information, you know, if you've been on social media, like if you shop on Amazon, like, yeah, they definitely have all your information. But like, should you not still maybe employ some like privacy protections or like, I don't know.
Well, there should be for like data and things, only because data can be manipulated in very consequential ways. Or it can affect behavior, like future behavior. That's a scary thing, that you can be manipulated to like think and do certain things based on like what people know about you.
Oh my gosh, it is so crazy. Even this whole like the influencer, like my mom has been more influenced by influencers than I have, and I was like, I don't think you're their target audience, but like now there's so many influencers for like anything that like she totally has like bought things she's seen on like Facebook or Instagram, and I'm like, what are you talking? Like, I have no idea what she's ever talking about when she mentions them to me. I think I'm out of the loop, I guess.
I felt super old the other day, maybe like a week ago. I had like never heard of Emma Chamberlain before. Like, do you know who she is? She's this crazy famous YouTuber who's like, I think 18 or 19, and she lives in like the Hollywood Hills or like Beverly Hills now, because she's like a self-made millionaire from doing like 2 or 3 years of YouTube, and she's got like millions and millions of followers, and she like she just does random videos. Like, I watched one where she would like review Trader Joe's items in this like gorgeous like Hollywood Hills like home that she has as like an 18-year-old. I'm just like, what is? I felt so old. I did not get it. I was like, who is she? Why is she famous? I don't.
Nope.
But you know what? Good for her. She's earned that money, and now she can just do whatever she wants. She has a following, so.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy. Like, part of me was like, I should have started an Instagram of, like, all the meals we've had in quarantine. And, like, we're all being sheltering in place because we definitely ordered a ton of takeout. Like, that would have been a really easy Instagram to start, because it's just like, this is what I ate, done. Like, the hashtag whatever, whatever, and like tag the food place. Because I was following someone that does like eats in DC, and she'll do like all these like freebies and stuff. And I'm like, she's probably getting paid for all this stuff. I'm like, I could have turned a whole side hustle here. So
you still can.
No, we're gonna be Sarah.
Age of COVID for a while.
That's true. That's true. We're probably gonna be here for a minute. But I don't know, maybe I will. I just seem to just not be productive right now. Ever.
Well, you know what? We're gonna be productive right now as we talk about rom-coms.
That's true. That is a good use of my productive energy. Rom-coms,
because we've got thoughts to share, we've made conclusions, we've drawn themes. Mm-hmm. We've done some work.
We did this work. This is not a live broadcast. We've done the research.
Yes, we used our heads,
our eyes,
and our ears to listen. We did our mouths too, but I was like, that just sounds weird to be like, we used our mouths. So
like, well, we use them to talk about things.
Yeah. We're using them now.
Yeah, I was like, what is Sarah gonna think about besides eyes and brain? I think that's it. And like, ears is important too.
I can put it on my hands too. I don't know why, though, just to, like, type on a computer.
I think hands is a little creepy, too. Like, we use our hands to discover some rom-coms. That sounds a little weird. That's not this kind of podcast, Sarah.
Well, if this were in a different time and we had to go to, like, a video store, we would have used our hands to grab things.
I was still thinking, what is she going to use her hand for in the video store? A video game?
Oh, to go through all the metal racks and the shelves of the video store.
You used your fingers to point to the game, to what you want to watch.
Like
the buttons on your control or whatever.
Well, mine was all on my computer. So, I mean, I used my fingers to type to get to, like, Hulu.
What a debate we're having. Meeting of the minds.
Stimulating. Well, as we talk about our mind and our heads and our brains, should we reveal what this week's theme is?
Yes, we're totally taking a deep dive into all our anatomy here. Am I going to say it or are you going to say it?
I will give you the honor of saying the theme.
Thank you. Our theme this week, we're looking at rom-coms with head injuries, which is seems like it should be very obscure, but it's not that obscure in some ways, because as we've learned from rom-coms, one thing our protagonist usually is clumsy. So it would make sense that there might be some injuries from that.
Yeah. I mean, when you also fall in love, your head gets kind of messed up. You're a little bit, like, messed up in your mind. So it's not that crazy.
Yeah.
A weird chemical change would, like, ignite love or, like, something.
Yeah, I can see that because it's, like, it's a big change for your body falling in love. I think it probably, like, releases a lot of, like, serotonin and dopamine in your brain, like all the good stuff, get you all doped up so you walk into walls and that kind of stuff.
But in these movies, I guess it's like the head injury came first and then love came after, instead of like being so in love and then hurting yourself.
Yeah. It was more like it's not like the classic, like, girl meets boy, boy meets girl. They both walk into walls because they're in love with each other and sustain head injuries. This is, like, more like you get a head injury, and then it kind of, like, makes you rethink who you are. They're kind of, like, in some ways, they're kind of, like, a wake-up call in some of these rom-coms.
Yeah. Because if you think about your, like, mind and your brain, where your thoughts are housed, it's also where your memories are kept. So sometimes it can mess with your memories and you lose like part of your identity that way, or you see the world differently because you can't remember, or you could also just see the world differently because we create our own realities with our head and the way we process things. Mm-hmm. So that's my psychology 101 coming out. We create our own realities.
Yeah, we're getting a little like doctor-y. This is our doctor-ish show. We talk about our brains and stuff like a real doctor would.
Call us. I was just only going to say Dr. Phil, but he's not a medical doctor.
I don't like giving him attention and press, but I was trying not to say Dr. Phil either, or Dr. Drew. Those are the two doctors I was thinking. I mean, I feel like we should be our own doctor. Maybe we should be like Dr. Rom-com Docs. Maybe you're Dr. Rom. I'll be Dr. Rom and you can be Dr. Com.
Yeah, we'll start a practice together. Just rom-com. Love. Yeah.
we can like assess and treat rom-coms as needed.
Yes.
You know.
Let's do it. We will assess the three that we're going to talk about now, too.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So, the first one is 50 First Dates. I love this movie. It came out in 2004. I might have seen it in theaters. I can't totally remember. I've seen it too many times. It's
definitely
the classic pairing of Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler, who've been in a handful of movies together at this point. Mm-hmm. Her head injury, let's just like reveal it. Let's give the diagnosis. She, before the movie starts, is in a car accident and it messes with her memory. She only can remember everything that happened before the accident. So every day she wakes up, she thinks it's the day, like, of her accident before it happened. And so she thinks it's her dad's birthday. She thinks it's a Sunday. And so she does the same thing every day. And her dad and her brother encourage that and, like, don't want to tell her the truth. They just try to replicate the same day over and over for her. So she is stuck in this loop. Adam Sandler eventually meets her and falls for her and then figures out, like, he learns about her head injury. And what I really love about this movie is that he changes. So we talked about, like, head injuries can cause maybe, like, identity changes for the person that has them. But in this movie, he really changes because he's, like, a commitment phobe, the beginning of the movie, and he doesn't want to stick to any one person. And Drew Barrymore's character with her head injury would be the perfect person to, like, for him on paper, because he doesn't have to commit to her if she can never remember him. But he decides to make her fall in love with him every single day. Like, that's what he has to do for her to like him and be with him every day, to, like, choose to be with him. I just think it's really sweet that he comes up with all these different ways just to talk to her and, like, see her for a little bit each day. And, like, if they're all silly and ridiculous, and, like, most of them are, like, he stops her, like, in the middle of the road. He'll, like, make construction, like, fake construction signs. Eventually, she decides that she wants to dump him and forget him forever. At this point, she does come up with her own, like, identity. This is the part where she really has an identity crisis and she doesn't know who she is with her head injury. So she goes and she makes it on her own. And he's somehow supplanted himself in her memory. He, like, she dreams about him, which is also really cute and sweet. And they end up together. It's the sweetest, I think, of the three we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, it's definitely the most, like, romantic of them. Like, he does really, like, fight for them to be together. And even, you know, when she tries to, like, erase him from her life, like, her brain won't let her, even though she's kind of trapped in this prison of living her, like, the same day over and over again. She can't let go of, like, this connection she feels. And obviously, if you're a fan of the movie, while you're thinking of it, you're probably like me and are singing the Beach Boys song in your head. Wouldn't it be nice if we were older? Like, I've been singing constantly since we talked about this movie.
I just love when Drew Barrymore sings it at one point and it's like Adam Sandler and then the actors that play her dad and brother are all listening to her. She, like, screams it. She, like, has a terrible voice. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Adam Sandler is so enchanted, like, oh, if only I could, like, hear that every day.
Yeah, it's just, this movie is, like, a very classic rom-com. It's super funny. It really pulls on your heartstrings. It also is, like, a little, like, sweet and, like, bittersweet in some ways, because it's, like, it is sad to think about, like, living your life, like, you know, never remembering everything. And he, like, ultimately makes a video for her to watch every morning when she wakes up to, like, remind her that they are in love, because it would be kind of jolting to wake up and be like, who is this person that you're living with?
Imagine if you're, I mean, she has a child by the end of the movie. So, like, can you imagine waking up and you're a wife and a mother and you're just like, wait, what?
Yeah. Like, I
learned that fact. Like, you did not know until you wake up.
Like, waking up and realizing you're pregnant when you think it's been, like, you think it's, like, a new year, like, 10 years ago, and you, like, wake up pregnant every morning, that must be such a weird shock. Like, I don't, like, that would be really difficult. And there probably are some mornings that, like, there probably are some days that you can't come back from that, because that would be hard for your brain to do all this time, because it's, like, who are you? And, like, the last thing you remember is, like, falling asleep the night before when you're, like, young and going to get your dad a birthday present. And then you wake up, and she's, like, living on a boat at the end of the movie. So, like, you wake up, you're living on a boat with this strange guy you've never seen before in your life. You're pregnant. Like, what a crazy world.
And I guess.
Child, like, you have a random child, like. Ugh, that's crazy.
Yeah, that you're told is, like, your kid. But, like, I feel like I'd be like, is it? Is it really my child?
I know. How terrible for your child. Like, every morning your mother forgets who you are. So.
I would hope that maybe, like, even though she can't remember, like, facts necessarily or, like, people, I would hope, like, the feelings, like, stay with her and she can just, like, sense, like, she feels comfortable there maybe, or she, like, loves the people around her even though she doesn't, like, know who they are. I would hope.
Hopefully.
The power of love, maybe.
Yeah, this movie does require a little, like, a bit of that, like, power of love. Like, basically, like, she does fall in love with him. But, like, it is romantic in that sense, too, because, like, she falls in love with him, like, over and over again, which is, like, sweet. So
they do have their first kiss, I think, like, 50 times, and she points it out every time. She's like, oh, the first kiss is always the best.
I remember watching this movie and being like, no, it's not. I do. Like, dislike that feeling of, in rom-coms where, like, the first kiss is, like, this great kiss. Like, I feel like the first kiss, you're kind of like, what is this other person doing? Like, what's their version of a good kiss? You gotta feel it out a little bit.
Yeah. Practice makes perfect, folks.
That's true.
So go out there and kiss. but only if you're maybe in the same COVID bubble. Because don't go out and kiss random people right now.
Straight from the doctor's orders.
Like, yeah, we are medical doctors.
Yeah, just, like, go and have a lot of first kisses. But, like, number one, don't right now unless they're in your, like, bubble. But don't, you know, think about that one too. But also, be safe. And also, don't kiss anyone who doesn't want to be kissed.
That's right.
That's important. Consent's important.
Consent is sexy.
Yes. Speaking of some practice, maybe making it perfect, this is kind of a stretch, but I'll take this segue. The next movie we're going to talk about is a movie that was so good that they remade it.
Made it twice.
Yeah, so nice they did it twice. And that is we're going to talk about the remake, and the movie is called Overboard, and it came out in 2018, but it also was the remake of the same titled movie Overboard that came out in 1987. And these are both really good movies, and they're kind of, while they follow the same plot, for the most part, I feel like they're two separate movies in a lot of ways. And it's, you know, I feel like there's by now, I don't know, maybe 500 Spider-Man movies, like, that you can they keep remaking, and, like, are they better? Who knows? But they keep remaking them. But Overboard, I will say, to me, I think, like, the new movie, if you haven't seen it yet, it's really good. I definitely enjoyed my rewatch of it, and I'd already seen it, so
recommend. As much as I love Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, especially together.
Yes.
I think, like, the gender flip is what makes it really nice.
The original movie, the 1987 classic. I mean, it definitely is a classic movie. You know, starring, they married or dated in real life?
They're just, like, long-term partners. They go by the philosophy of, like, each day they choose to be with each other. That's so sweet. They've just chosen, each day they've chosen for, like, 40 years just to be with each other.
Oh, that's so nice. And that movie is, like, is, like, Goldie Hawn is, like, a spoiled, like, heiress, and she's from, like, wealthy, wealthy old money, and she is on a yacht, her private yacht, and, like, falls overboard, and it's basically claimed by, what's his face? I knew, I was just going to say his name. Is it Kurt Russell? It is, right? And I'm not just making up that. Okay. Kurt Russell claims to her, and he had been, like, on her boat, like, fixing something, and she treated him really terribly. And he decides to get back at her by saying that they're married and taking her in. And so the 2018 version is kind of just a flip on that plot. It stars Anna Faris, who we were talking about. This is our third Anna Faris movie, so we do love her. And the male lead is, I'm going to say his name wrong. Eugenio Derbez, who I don't think he's as well known.
Well, in Mexico, he's a huge star.
Okay.
So that, he's not well known. I want to say, from my high school Spanish days,
I'm saying
his name is Eugenio.
Oh, okay, Eugenio. That makes sense. That's better. I took French, and I'm also bad at the sounds of words.
I might even be wrong, too. With the E and the U together, like, I can't remember with the vowel. That G is definitely a huh sound.
Good. I'm glad I have you on board. Before we're overboard. So, our friend, I think his name in the movie is Leonardo, and he is, like, this super wealthy playboy. He is living the life of, like, I don't know, everyone would want, like, just partying on his yacht. Although he's, in the movie, I think he seems a little too old for it, but because he's, like, in the movie, I mean, it seems like he's in his, like, late 30s, maybe early 40s, and, like, still just partying hard. He's, like, the face of his family owns a company that, like, a construction materials company or something. Who knows, like, a gravel company or something. And they, you know, there's a lot, this movie, too, that has, like, more backstory on his family, and, like, there's a lot of, like, telenovela plot lines going on that I do think is, like, a good infusion into the story. But he falls from his yacht. He has amnesia. He doesn't know who he is. And he had been, when Anna Faris's character had been over to clean his carpets in his yacht, he was terrible to her, like, really bad. Like, basically called her ugly and, like, threw her stuff overboard, and, like, she had to pay, like, $3,000 for this damage equipment, and he, like, didn't care. So, she, with the help of her friend, played by Eva Longoria, she decides to pretend he's her husband and, like, doctor some, you know, photos and the marriage license, takes him home, and, like, she uses him to be her, like, babysitter and, like, house husband, and kind of puts him to work to earn a salary so that she can study for her nursing exam. And so he really goes through a transformation. Like, he is such a jerk before he gets hit on the head, and then once he gets hit on the head, he doesn't know anything about himself at all, and has to kind of take her impressions of him at face value. Like, at one point, he gets himself, like, mango yogurt, and he's like, do I like mango? Have I always liked mango? Like, he has no idea who he is, but he really kind of has, like, a personal glow up in this movie, because he goes from being such a douchey guy to really embodying, like, becoming this amazing, like, dad and husband and support. Like, he, you know, instead of just, like, cooking whatever was available, he's, like, researches, like, best recipes and cooks, like, really delicious food for his family. And, like, he she tells him that none of the kids look like him because they used a sperm donor, and he insists that he is the father. Like, it doesn't matter whose sperm it was, like, these are his kids. And he, like, teaches, you know, one of the girls to ride her bike and, like, goes to support the other one in her games. And he's such a really good, like, he becomes a really good person. And, but eventually, like, all these movies end. One day their memories come back to them and they have to, you know, they kind of go back to their old lives. But, you know, then his dad threatens to cut him off if he doesn't go back to being the kind of playboy lifestyle, which also is like, why would your parent, like, if you were, like, legitimately, like, happy and love and, like, weren't a terrible person, like, why would your parents want to, like, pull you back to your crazy, like, party lifestyle? But, you know, there's a lot of patriarchy also in the movie. And he has to choose between love and money, and he ultimately chooses love. I spoiled it for you, but but they both Overboards end with, like, great, like, dramatic moments of, like, being on the water and, like, jumping in the water to be in love. And it's they're just really great movies, like, easy to watch, full of laughs, lots of love. Thumbs up from Dr. Rom.
Dr. Com says, this movie just shows, like, how susceptible someone can be to suggestion. Like, he just is told that he's a really hardworking, great father and partner. And so he just becomes one. Like, he just, like, steps into the role because she keeps telling him, like, this is what you do, this is how you act. And so he, like, becomes that person, which is really great. And I do love, like, the telenovela kind of, like, plot line put into it, because, like, head injuries are so, like, overused in soap operas and telenovelas that it makes sense that they would, like, string that in. It's a good one. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. Like, it definitely builds into, you know, his father is sick and his sister's trying to scheme to get company, like, to become the head of the company. And, like, you know, she purposely doesn't see him at the hospital and tells everyone he's dead so that she can get access to, like, becoming the head of the company. But it's like, I feel like his sisters are, he has two sisters. And it's funny because, like, I felt bad for his scheming sister most of the movie because she was doing the job of, like, the CEO, but because she was a woman, her father wanted to leave his company to his son, who didn't do any, he never worked, like, a day in his life until he had a head injury. So, you know, like, she was being passed over just because of, like, silly gender feelings. And, but at the same time, she does choose a not honest way of dealing with her feelings, and that becomes her downfall. But he really discover, like, he likes being that kind of person. Like, his head injury allowed him to see something in himself that he hadn't seen before, and that is one of the beautiful things about hitting your head on something.
It has changed your whole point of view, which I think could bring us to our top pick.
Sure can.
Yeah. Are you going to do a... Our top pick is...
I feel pretty!
We kind of did it. Yes. I feel pretty... Starring Amy Schumer.
This movie came out the same year as Overboard, I think, right? They're both 2018. So
it did. But I feel pretty seems so more recent for some reason. I don't know why.
It does. I don't know why either, but It's maybe because after that we lost a whole year to COVID. So
yes, I definitely thought I Feel Pretty came out a year ago because I was just, it doesn't seem like anything's happened this year. So I'm like, oh, it was only like a year ago, right?
Yeah. I also feel like this movie was like slightly a sleeper movie. Like, I don't think it got like a big attention to it. I mean, it was on my radar because I love Amy Schumer and like, I love rom-coms, so I was like, I was going to watch this movie, but...
I feel like the trailer, like, misconstrued kind of, like, what the point of the movie was, and I feel like a lot of viewers of the trailer thought it was about, like, making fun of Amy Schumer, and, like, oh my god, she thinks she's pretty, and, like, that was, I think, what the trailer was... It portrayed that message more and rather than like what the movie actually is about. Because I know it got backlash of like,
yeah,
it's a joke that like Amy Schumer is like making fun of the way she looks or something. Cause I remember there were a bunch of like think pieces about the movie when it came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting because I feel like I definitely saw it in theaters and I remember texting like, because I thought this movie was so empowering for you. So I texted a bunch of my friends and were like, you have to see this movie. But, like, no one had really heard of it even. So it was kind of, I do think now that we have more time on our hands, if you haven't, this is another one if you have missed it. Because Overboard also, like, the new one, the old one was so iconic, the original one, that people, like, didn't want it to be remade, and I think people didn't like that it was remade, but it's really good. So these two movies, if you haven't seen them while you have some time on your hands inside your apartments and houses, give it a whirl.
Yeah. Well, there aren't as really any like new movies coming out, not as many, so just watch them a little. And this movie, and I want to say like the for this movie, because I'm looking at what the poster was change everything without changing anything. So Amy Schumer's head injury is very much about how she sees herself and like nothing else changes for her except for how she views the way she looks in the world, and like that's about it. In the beginning of the movie, she doesn't like herself. She really doesn't like the way she looks. And she's constantly trying to change her appearance, either with, like, makeup or what she wears or going to SoulCycle. And when she goes to SoulCycle, the beginning of the movie, I think the second time, the first time she injures herself, but it's not a head injury. I think it's, like, a vagina injury.
It's a great.
The seat just goes right on up, which is very painful. If any woman has felt that before, I'm sure as a man it also doesn't feel good. Any groin injury doesn't feel good for anybody. Yeah. Man, female, however you identify, it never feels good, but it really hurts her. She goes back again though, and that's when she hurts her head. When she wakes up after hitting her head, she is in shock when she looks in the mirror and she sees someone totally different. Although we can't see anything. She just looks, like Amy Schumer.
I like that. Like we never see what she sees. We only see her. And like, she makes a huge case, obviously, of like looking so different. Like she thinks she looks like, a completely different person, like not even just like a little different. Like when she sees her friends, her like close friends, she's like, she like covers her eyes and like, I know you're gonna freak out, but just believe me, like this is me, like I know everything about you. And they like look at her and she looks exactly the same as she's always looked. Like it's definitely an injury that only she can see the benefits of.
I think she says she looks like a Kardashian, but like one of the Jenners. Like, if she says they look better than the like original Kardashian. So I guess she looks maybe like Kylie or Kendall. That's what she thinks she looks like. But yeah, no one else sees that. All they do see is that she starts to carry herself differently. She really walks through the world with confidence because she thinks she looks different. She thinks she's this like amazingly genetically like a beautiful person. So she acts that way and everyone reacts to how she carries herself because she has so much confidence. And beauty really is how you carry yourself more than like how you physically look. Obviously it's a little bit of both. I don't want to say it's just, you know.
Yeah, I do like how this movie, like there's constantly a woman she keeps bumping into that she meets at SoulCycle that's played by the actress's name is Emily. I can't pronounce her last name. It's very long, like Radojowski or something. But she's like known for just being gorgeous. Like she's basically like an influencer, and like I mean, she's an actress, but she like does a lot of like modeling stuff. She's just really, really, really good looking, and she constantly like as Amy Schumer is like adjusting to this like newfound confidence, like newfound looks for herself, she's constantly running into this other woman and real like kind of realizing, I think it's like it's an interesting like parallel between how she's feeling, because she like sees this beautiful woman who's like asked out all the time and like invited to go on people's yachts and like just living this dream world, but at the same time this woman is like, she's not particularly happy anytime you meet her. Like, she's, like, she still gets dumped. Like, she gets passed over for jobs. Like, people don't like her. Like, there's no, it's, I guess this movie, for me, it really buys into this idea of, like, the perfect woman, the perfect body, the perfect whatever. Like, all the myths of perfection for women.
Yeah. That character played by that woman talks about like how she always feels really dumb, and it's a huge insecurity for her. And I think it's a horrible thing, unfortunately, I feel like with women, where you're either classified as like really pretty or you're smart, but it's usually not in the same package, like, which is not true obviously, but I feel like conventionally attractive women are usually told they're dumb, or just are perceived as dumb. So, but Amy Schumer, she believes she's the full package now, and she can conquer the world. So she wants to become a receptionist. Which, like, I still don't totally get. I feel like that's part of the joke of, like, you're really attractive, what can you do? And so she doesn't aspire to do anything, like, earth-shattering. Like, I...
She, like, walks off. Ooh. Not me. Or me. My phone. My Skype is repeating. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you fine. I don't know what's going on your end.
Sorry. Okay, it's better. I muted myself. I don't need it. She just isn't kind of infatuated with this magazine, and has kind of viewed it as like kind of like her like Bible of like how to be a woman in this world is this like beauty magazine. And so I feel like when she...
It's a makeup company, right?
Oh, you're right. It's a makeup company. I'm sorry. I just assumed it was a magazine. I forgot. it's a makeup company, so it's like if you work there you are one of them. Like, it's kind of like an elite status to be a part of it. And to be fair, she already works for them, but they like she's in like a satellite office like somewhere in a basement. She works with like one other guy that just runs the tech, and so it's not really like she wants to be like in with the cool kids are. And so I think that's kind of why she wants the receptionist job, because she by default would be where the cool people are, but not like, you know, not actually a part of them in some ways, because she's just a receptionist. Mm-hmm. But it is a weird career move. It's not a good career move, I will say that.
Yeah, it's a bit strange, but she does get the job, and then she works alongside Michelle Williams, for most of the movie, who's the CEO. And
do the voice, Sarah.
Yes, Amy and I were talking about her baby voice, and it's her voice. Her voice is just the one thing that always gets in the way. She has an MBA and a JD from Wharton, and she's tried everything, but she can't get rid of that voice. Like, Michelle Williams, like, oh, she's so good in this movie.
Yeah,
and I can't imagine her actually having to talk like that for like hours and hours on end, like days and days. Yeah, and she obviously looks really gorgeous and serene. Amy and I were talking about how she just looks so like unfazed. Even though she is freaking out almost in every scene, she's like really anxious or stressed out about the rollout of their diffusion line, which means they're going into like Targets. She's very stressed out, but she looks very like serene on her face.
Yeah. And this is like where Amy Schumer can shine, because her character, like her character is the only one at that makeup company that has ever shopped at Target for makeup. So she gets to put her, like Michelle Williams' character is like very concerned about this new line and how to do it successfully. And she has a lot of pressure by her grandmother who started the company. And basically she leans on Amy Schumer for her experience being poor.
Amy Schumer just like has the confidence to like take it on, like share her ideas. Because of the way she looks, she feels like confident, I guess, expressing herself, because she sees herself differently. She also is more confident with men, because she's like, I'm super hot. So she just goes for it. Her love interest in this movie is played by Rory Scovel, and he is just like a sweetie, a cutie patootie, who's just like kind of amazed by her and her spirit and how just like out there she is. They're a good pair.
Yeah, good,
like,
yeah,
match for each other.
He kind of like straight mans her crazy. Mm-hmm. And so adorable. Like, he's just a really cute guy. Like, he is like more introverted, and he's like not stereotypically like masculine in a lot of ways. Like, he's kind of more feminine in some ways, and like tells her that it's like hard for him to get ahead at work because of that. And like, so he kind of has his like identity to play around with too, and try to figure out like how to make it. He wants to be like a cameraman and things like that, but like that's a typically very like masculine, like rough kind of career. And he's pretty like, he's more like dainty. I think he might be like a vegetarian or something. I feel like, I don't know if that's real or not, but maybe. It seems like it. And he, you know, so he's kind of like enthralled with Amy Schumer when he meets her, because she's like very, she sees the world in like a different light. She's like bouncing off the walls with confidence. And Sarah and I were discussing for a while, like on their first date, they go to Coney Island, and Amy enters out like a wet t-shirt contest. And we were debating what the move was there, because it is like a really weird move. Like, that was her first date. I don't know if like that would be I would want to feel that comfortable doing that, but she completely is like, she doesn't have a bikini. It's like, I think it's a bikini contest, and she doesn't have a bikini, but she just like makes her shorts and shirt really like, she like twists them and maneuvers them, so she's showing a lot of skin. And she like just goes up there. Everybody else is in a bikini, and like they look like they're like 20, like 18 to 20. She just jumps on stage and like shakes her booty and like dances around and like is having like the best time of her life. And it's quite a spectacle to watch.
I feel like she really wins over the crowd, because she takes over the microphone. Mm-hmm. And she has this great personality where she tells jokes. Of course, like, Amy Schumer is funny. She said, and her character is funny. She tells like jokes about herself, And then, like, she's got, like, swagger while she does it. And then, like, yeah, she does a dance. And people are just, like, all in because she carries herself in such a great way. So it is, like, her personality. She thinks it's because of the way she looks, because she thinks she's, again, this, like, Kardashian Jenner. But it's really just, like, the way she's acting and the way she is walking around the stage that people are, like, eating it up and think that she's amazing.
Yeah,
and her date at first, like, does not want her to do it, and then he, like, sees how great she is up on stage and, like, really likes her after she goes up there. But yeah, it is a weird thing of, like, wanting to do that on a first date, even if you're like, well, I'm gonna win the prize money. It's still really weird. Like, I would not I don't think I would ever do that on a first date. And if I was on a date with someone that entered some sort of, like, beauty contest or, like, physical weird appearance contest of any kind, I would just be like, why are you doing this? I would just be like, why are you doing this now? Like,
yeah.
If you really wanted to enter it, you should have planned this out before. Like,
yeah, like, it almost is like a narcissistic move of just being like, I want all eyes on me, and I'm going to talk about, like, I'm going to show off, like, what I got to everyone. Like, it's definitely a very weird move, especially for a first date. I don't think I probably would want to go on a second date with someone who had done that, because they're like, where are they going to take me to next? Like, a mirror or a showcase or something like that? Like,
it's odd, and she acts really odd throughout the movie, but I think most people just find it, like, endearing. Like, we know why she's acting odd. Nobody else really knows why she's acting the way she does, so I think people just think she's, like, quirky and, like, does just weird things, which is very rom-com-y. She, in fact, gets Michelle Williams' brother in the movie, played by Tom Hopper, who's supposed to be, like, this crazy playboy heir that only hangs out with, like, Brazilian supermodels. He falls for her, again, because, like, the way she carries herself and, like, the jokes she says and, like, how she acts. He hits on her, but she, like, sends him away. But while she does that, she hits her head again.
And then her whole life is over because she sees herself as she really is. And all of a sudden she's like, she's kind of like the emperor who realizes he's naked. She's like, I can't go out there. She's about to do this, like, huge pitch with Michelle Williams and pitch this, like, cheap of makeup. And she has to, like, go back and, like, flee home, and she, like, kind of, like, breaks up with her boyfriend. They have a really weird moment where, like, he thinks that they're, like, playing a role-playing game because he sees her at the bar, and she's like, he probably doesn't recognize me, and, like, I'm gonna just call him and break up with him. And he's like, I'll just come outside and see you. Like, you're there.
The cutest but oddest, like, and heartbreaking, like, the most heartbreaking scene at the same time, because, like, yeah, they're at a bar, they literally make eye contact with each other, and then she texts him and is like, I'm not gonna make it tonight, and he thinks she's, like, doing this cute role-playing thing in a joke, so he comes over and he's like, you know what, I'm waiting on my girlfriend, are you waiting on someone? And she is like, yeah, my boyfriend, but he's not here. And I think he tells her, like, I'm dating the most beautiful girl in the world. And she gets really sad because, like, she thinks that he doesn't actually know who she is in that conversation. Yeah.
And I think she suddenly is like, now this relationship is going to be over because he only dated me because I was so beautiful. And now that I'm not beautiful again, he's going to leave me. And he's so confused. I feel so bad for him because he's, like, so confused about her.
Well, when he says that, she, like, runs away crying. And he's just like, huh? I just called her the most beautiful girl in the world. I don't. I don't get it. Because, yeah, like, normally you would be like, that's the sweetest thing.
Yeah.
Someone could say to someone else that they're dating. Yeah.
They have such nice chemistry. Like, he is so, I feel like they have a million really adorable moments that are so cute. Like, when they pick she picks him up, but she thinks he's picking her up. Or, like, even at the end, they get back together and, like, she's on his doorstep and she doesn't know that he has a camera on his doorstep. And she's, like, picking her nose as she's, like, coming to apologize. And he's like, I watched the whole thing on the camera. Like, obviously not her beautiful moment that she wanted, but, like still
picking her nose, yeah.
Still loves her and wants to be with her. And, like, all her, like, intense pressure she was feeling about how she looked was just, like, nothing. Like, she shouldn't have been so worried about it because, you know, she was in love. She has great friends. Like, she, I guess, has a good job. And he does get kind of promoted in, like, I think they make her, like, vice president of this new line because they couldn't do it without her. But,
yeah, she harnesses the confidence that she had when she thought she looked a certain way at the end. And she, like, doesn't need to think she looks different now. Like, she likes the way she looks.
Mm-hmm.
Because she learns, like, the way she walked through the world, she looked the same the whole time, and people liked her and fell in love with her, and she felt good about herself, and it had nothing to do with looking a different way. She looks the way she looks.
Yeah, and again, it was, like, the power of suggestion, because when she thought she was gorgeous, like, little things, like, there was a scene where, like, a guy opened a door, like, to go in, and she, like, cut in front of him and was like, oh, thank you for holding the door. Like, you know, like, she, like, saw the world with her thinking, like, I am so beautiful, the world's gonna, like, open up to me. She almost, like, manifested it in different ways because she would just see opportunities where she, like, created that in her mind. Like, she was like, oh, this man's opening a door for me, even though he was just, like, about to walk through a door. And, like, then it was just because she was so beautiful, so.
Yeah, and, like, we had talked about, I think, earlier, before we started recording, with the Rory Scovel, when they first meet at the laundromat, he's like, what's your number? For the, like, actually to get, like, help from the people that work there. And she's like, oh, here it is. This is the move. So, like, yeah, because she thinks that's what's happening, she, like, forces it to happen, basically.
Yeah, like, it's such a cute pickup because he's, like, so confused. Like, he's, like, I'm just, like, he had never been to that dry cleaner before, and he's just trying to figure out, like, what's happening there, and then she's, like, oh, okay, like, give me your phone, I'll put in my number, you're welcome, like,
The best is, too, she calls him later, since she took his number, she calls him later, and she's just like, I know you're playing it cool, I'm gonna help you out, we're gonna go on a date, it's gonna be amazing, you're welcome, and then she pauses, and she's like, oh, it's Renee from the launch, like, she had no idea who was calling.
Yeah, it's really, really cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it got, like, misconceived or something. Like, people didn't really get what the theme was or what they were trying to, like, say with this movie. And I feel like you actually have to, like, watch it to see, like, ultimately what message they were trying to get across.
Yeah. I think it's her head injury caused her to discover a lot about herself and where she, like, and where, like, her negative thoughts were keeping her. Like, she was holding herself back in a lot of ways by, like, having so many negative thoughts about herself and her life. And once she stopped doing that, like, she just had the opposite thing where she started, I mean, she didn't, this was from an injury, but she, like, just started thinking really about herself and, like, really, like, loved herself and like acted like it, and then everything changed for her because of
that. And like the only thing that's really like odd about maybe the movie, as I think about it, that really should be like looked at and that is part of the message, is like how everyone reacts to her if they think it's weird that she has confidence. Like that's really
like
the message too, that like we don't think it's all right for certain people to have confidence and like love for themselves based on how they look, because they were like, why are you acting that way, why do you like yourself kind of mentality.
Well, it's like the slippery slope of being a woman, because it's like there's a multi-bazillion dollar industry telling you, I mean, that they work for a makeup company, like that is basically telling you that you need to like change your appearance to look good. And then, you know, there's so many, like, you know, she was watching like YouTube videos on like how to do your hair. Like nothing was ever enough for just being yourself. Like it was always, you had to be somebody else. That's what you from a young age, Sarah.
Yeah.
So, capitalism. Yeah, it'll destroy you if you let it. Everyone listening, you're beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful, and you're lovely, and
yeah,
good life.
And wear makeup for fun. But yeah. not to change how you look. You're already beautiful.
Or don't. It's a pandemic. Brows are done. Makeup's done. We're over it all.
Yeah. Do whatever makes you feel good.
I know one beautiful soul out there. And his name is Jason Segel. If you're listening, give me a ring.
Mm-hmm. Do it, Jason.
Ring, ring. That could be you calling me.